Support for Kansas City Today comes from Grandma's Office Catering, delivering made-from-scratch hot meals and individual boxed lunches for fast distribution to offices, warehouses, and factories, even on nights and weekends. Details are at grandmascatering.com.
This is Kansas City Today. I'm Nomi Nujiadine. Today is Thursday, March 28th. Coming up, we'll hear how the war in Gaza is affecting the Palestinian and Muslim communities in Kansas City, especially during the holy month of Ramadan.
We have witnessed Gazans being absolutely humiliated in the midst of them trying to find and gain access to any type of sustenance for their families.
But first, some headlines. Representatives from the Kansas City Royals, Chiefs, and Jackson County Sports Authority presented new stadium lease agreements for the teams yesterday. The Chiefs' new lease would last 25 years at more than $1 million a year. The lease also includes three optional five-year extensions. The Royals' lease would last at least 40 years at nearly $3 million a year, with two optional five-year extensions. Kansas City Chiefs President Mark Donovan claimed the county would not be financially responsible for the demolition of Kauffman Stadium.
I think we've reached agreement in our letter of intent and in everything we've done that this is on us. So the demolition will be on us.
Both leases are contingent on the approval of an extension to the 0.375% sales tax in next Tuesday's election. The Kansas City Council is looking to pass its annual budget today. KCUR's Salisa Kalakal reports the city could dedicate even more money to the police department.
The KCPD is set to receive $317 million for the upcoming year, an increase of more than $30 million from last year. Mayor Quentin Lucas says that will support raising pay for current officers and hiring more employees. The budget would also spend $1 million on a program diverting some emergency calls to the health department rather than police. The goal is to prevent more people from coming into contact with officers or being arrested for issues such as mental health and homelessness.
The council will also consider adding $3 million to the city's public transit budget to continue supporting free bus fares and current service levels. The Kansas House of Representatives has advanced major tax reform with unanimous support. Daniel Cottle of the Kansas News Service reports.
Representatives from both parties clapped, shook hands, and patted each other on the back after reaching a breakthrough on tax relief. The bill would combine the state's three tax brackets into just two, rather than the single rate vetoed by Democratic Governor Laura Kelly in January. The first $7,000 of a person's income would be exempt from state taxes. Here's Democratic Representative Tom Sawyer.
We have a good, strong position in the House that benefits all Kansas. I think we'll be very proud of the work we did today.
The bill also includes state property tax relief and an increase to the standard deduction. Kelly previously said a dual rate system was not her quote-unquote preference. It's unclear if she would sign the bill if it also passes the Senate.
We'll be back after this.
Can we heal the environment? In Kansas, we're working on it. Up From Dust is a podcast about how humans reshaped the world to fit urban landscapes and agricultural needs. We'll meet the people who are rolling up their sleeves to find more sustainable ways forward. Listen to Up From Dust from KCUR, part of the NPR network.
Throughout March, Muslims around the world have been praying, studying the Quran, and fasting from sunrise to sunset for Ramadan. But with the war between Israel and Hamas in its fifth month and no ceasefire in sight, the normally joyous holiday feels different this year for many, including in Kansas City. Imam Mohammed Herbert is a resident scholar at the Islamic Center of Johnson County. He told KCUR's Steve Kraske how he counsels his community through both celebratory and challenging times.
Imam Herbert, what is Ramadan?
Almost like a spiritual boot camp. Mm. It's that time once a year where we have that opportunity to turn off all of those worldly desires and temptations and calls and struggles and really take a moment and think to myself, okay, beyond just the material, beyond what I need to survive, what else do I need spiritually?
Talk to me for a moment, if you would, about the Muslim community in Kansas City.
We have around a couple dozen mosques located around Kansas City in the Missouri side as well as the Kansas side. I myself serve in the Islamic Center of Johnson County, which is in Overland Park. I know in just our mosque, let alone the other mosques, we have over 40 different countries represented in our congregation. And so, you know, one of the common misunderstandings is that Islam is like an Arab faith.
Well, what is the largest demographic?
It's Asian, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the country with the largest populations of Muslims is either Malaysia or Indonesia, actually, technically. Mm-hmm. Not far after that, I believe, is India. And then, you know, some other countries. But yeah, you know, when we think about Muslims, we're often, you know, thinking of this kind of like very stereotypical and often, honestly, kind of racist understanding of this like Bedouin kind of sitting in some desert somewhere that has no idea what's going on, or, you know, or even more disheartening, I'll say, is oftentimes like a violent person or a treacherous person or whatever it might be. But Islam is so diverse.
Let's talk just a little bit about the conflict between Israel and Hamas that is now in its fifth month, as I mentioned. You know, how is the war affecting your faith community? Because I can't help but imagine that it's fairly profound.
It's difficult to put words to. It's a situation where you see your brothers and sisters that are being slaughtered by the thousands and no one seems to care. It's a pain that, you know, you wouldn't even wish on your worst enemy.
I assume you have Palestinian families at the Islamic Center?
Absolutely.
How are they managing?
I think the Palestinian families are hurting the most. We have a few members in our community that have lost family members, like an aunt or an uncle or a cousin or a brother that have died because of this. You know, we have a sister in our community who, her family member had to walk to the hospital to give birth and gave birth without any medication, without anesthesia, without anything, right? And then after giving birth, had to walk back, right? You're talking about a government that's targeting hospitals. And then not only that, but seeing their ethnicity, seeing their culture literally be bombed in front of their eyes and not being able to do anything, you know? And I think really that's the hardest part, is to feel stuck, is to feel like I'm calling politicians, I'm raising awareness, we're going to marches, I'm on talk shows, you know? Mm-hmm. We're doing everything under the sun, but it just seems like it's not helping, you know?
So Ramadan this year feels very different than perhaps other years.
Absolutely. Ramadan feels more purposeful. It feels like, no, I cannot miss a prayer. If not for my sake, then for my brother's sake. You know, if not for my sake, then for my sister's sake. For that young child that is dying of starvation. No, I need to get that prayer because I'm now not just praying for me, but I'm praying for us.
That was KCUR's Steve Kraske and Imam Muhammad Herbert of the Islamic Center of Johnson County. Steve also spoke to Sarah Jahari, a Palestinian-American journalist from Kansas City. She told him that recently, support for pro-Palestinian protests in Mill Creek Park has grown drastically.
Growing up, you learn Ramadan is obviously one of the pillars of our Islamic faith and an expectation every single year that we look forward to. As a child, you learn that it's to sympathize and empathize with those who have less than you, who don't have access to the privileges that you do. The act of abstaining from food and water is to feel what those less fortunate feel around the world.
I imagine that experience as a child is one thing, but that experience of fasting today as an adult is something different.
It went from just abstaining from food, water, to in general being very, very conscious and aware of how we consume all things beyond just, you know, sustenance, bodily sustenance. More than anything, it's a level of deep spirituality that I've tapped into that I've never felt before. In the sense that walking around, no one's going to know that you are abstaining from food and water.
Mm-hmm.
Your peers might see that you are a little more tired throughout the day.
Right.
But What they don't know is how clear-headed I am, how intentional and how purposeful I am moving throughout the day, and in general, how purposeful I am with all my actions throughout the month.
You know, I'm guessing that for you and for so many, Ramadan feels very different this year.
We are just absolutely attached to our phones lately, checking in with our families, those who have some on the ground in Gaza still, who have yet to evacuate. 100% of Gaza right now is displaced.
Mm-hmm.
And we have several families in Kansas City who have family still in Gaza, many of them American citizens who are still trying to evacuate. And it's just very difficult to look forward to Ramadan this year, feel the Ramadan spirit, feel the spirit of community, because quite frankly, our community is extremely burnt out right now in all senses of the word, physically, spiritually, mentally. I keep telling friends that this year has actually, ironically, been the easiest year of the physical fast for me, because the sheer anxiety that has consumed us has just made fasting easy.
Yeah. You know, you've talked about feeling a range of complex emotions this month, including guilt. Why guilt?
The guilt of leaving Palestine, the guilt of being forced out, the guilt of not having to experience the occupation and life under occupation every single day, the guilt of not having to worry where our income is going to come from, where our next source of food is going to come from, whether we'll have a roof over our heads, never having to worry about, you know, being able to get into our cars and drive across the city to work without checkpoints every other mile. But more than anything right now during Ramadan, it's that guilt of access to food. We have witnessed Gazans being absolutely humiliated in the midst of them trying to find and gain access to any type of sustenance for their families.
You know, given that, I'm just wondering, you know, giving to those in need is such a significant part of Islam. How are you approaching charity during this Ramadan?
Yeah, I've never seen our community so ready to give, whether that be giving through monetary donations or physical. Like, I've seen also this shift in Ramadan and a lot of our community members wanting to just generally be more involved in our local community in ways that we've never seen before. A lot of younger folks wanting to come back to their mosques after feeling isolated in a very long time. I feel like this conflict has reignited people's urge for community, a sense of community.
Right.
Because, you know, for the large part, the last 4 years or so has isolated a lot of people. And I'm definitely seeing that urge to just feel a sense of community at a time where we unfortunately feel extra isolated from our communities, both as Muslims and as Palestinian Americans.
Does that leave you with any sense of hope, even at a dark moment like this?
It does. My earliest memories living in Kansas City is going to Palestinian protests on Mill Creek Park. And almost 30 years on, we're still doing the same thing. And, you know, you would think that that would be a reason to feel such despair, that we're still 30 years on protesting the same things at the same place. But what I always point out to people is back then we would barely have a handful of folks on Mill Creek Park protesting this.
And today it's different.
Today we're being outnumbered by those who are completely outside of our communities and outside of the Palestinian American communities, outside of the Muslim American communities. And it is the most inspiring thing to see that finally the veil has been lifted for many folks and they're wanting to be involved in the liberation of Palestinians and the freedom of Palestinians and fighting for Palestinian self-determination in ways that we have always fought but have never felt supported by our peers living here in America.
That was Steve Kraske and journalist Sarah Jahari. Both of these conversations come to us from KCUR's daily talk show, Up to Date. You can find more stories by subscribing to their show wherever you get your podcasts. This is Kansas City Today. I'm Nomi Nujiadine. This podcast is produced by David McKeel and KCUR Studios and edited by Madeline Fox and Gabe Rosenberg. For more local news from Kansas City's NPR station, visit kcur.org. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Hollywood writers are obsessed with the concept of an asteroid heading towards Earth and destroying civilization. But is this something we really should be worried about? I'm Kate the Chemist, and on my podcast, Seeking a Scientist, we meet the mastermind behind a real-life mission to divert the path of an asteroid. Subscribe to Seeking a Scientist, made possible by the Starris Institute.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.